Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Again, I'll be reading from John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. The Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word today. This morning, as you know, we continue through our series of John's Gospel. We are in the upper room today. We're still there. Jesus is still teaching. Jesus is still talking. He's still training these disciples. He's still preparing them for what is coming, and He's preparing them to take the Passover. This Passover will be something very special and very different. This will be the Passover that Christ will give His life as an atonement for sin. And Christ is preparing all of these things and for all these circumstances and all the opportunities the disciples will have that come from it. Now these disciples continue to stand face to face with tension and drama. We often think of our lives being filled with it, but for a little while this morning, think about what these men were witnessing while they were trying to absorb everything that Jesus was teaching. There was serious infighting among them. That's what was taking place when Jesus called them to the upper room. There was pride in their lives concerning the washing of feet and humble service. There was the revealing of a traitor. And now, Jesus talks to them about His departure. And you thought your week was tough. Their attention didn't come from the Lord, though, and neither does ours. You see, tension comes from anxiety. And anxiety comes from a concern about ourselves. Now, when we come to a place where we're truly submissive and we're truly obedient to the Lord, we will find our anxiety being relieved. It's relieved because our focus is upon the Lord and it's upon His will, not on ours. Now, there are some this morning who will argue that it's impossible for us to be truly submissive and truly obedient to the Lord. Well, that depends. That depends on how we look at the words obedient and submissive. You see, if we look at them from a worldly perspective, then we see them as being self-centered. They are selfish. It's about me, mine, and I. It's about what I get and what I can gain. It's about what's in it for me or us. But then if we look at it from a heavenly perspective, it's about the Lord. And it's about what the Lord desires in and through our lives. It's about what the Lord gets from us. What we give instead of what we receive. When we follow the Lord's plan and the Lord's purpose for our lives, we very soon find a humble perspective. Not humble in man's estimation, but humble in the Word of God and humble from that expectation and that perspective. And there is a big difference between the way man views humility and the way God views humility. You see, when we are talking about a humble perspective, it is about sacrificial service. When we follow the Lord's plan, we find a very real and a very meaningful relationship with Jesus. Now, we can come to the point this morning where we can say, I have a relationship with the Lord. And that may be true, but how meaningful is it? How meaningful and what perspective does it play in our lives? Jesus wanted the disciples to realize the gift that they had was an eternal gift. It was a gift that gave them something that no one else in their group, in their relationships, connections had. It was eternal life. And it meant something. It meant a relationship with Jesus that had serious, sincere meaning. Now, when we look at this amazing relationship, there are several things that are revealed to us. And in today's passage, the Lord reveals His heavenly home to His disciples. That includes every born-again person who has ever read or ever will read these passages. So this morning, look with me for a little while as we listen to Jesus as He talks about a heavenly home that is revealed. Notice with me first this morning, Jesus reveals His heavenly home as a new peace. Jesus says, don't be anxious when He says, let not your heart be troubled. He is telling His disciples and you and I this morning not to be anxious. Just believe. Now, that's not some cute social media statement. We see believe mentioned twice. Both are verbs and both imply trust. Jesus is saying to His disciples and to you and I to trust Him. Now, when we say we believe in Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, are we saying that we believe that Jesus is who Jesus says He is, or are we saying that we trust Him? Do you get the idea of a meaningful relationship? We can give lip service to Jesus about believing in Him, or we can trust Him. We can put all of our trust, all of our hopes, everything that goes around our lives and within our lives, we can put it in Him with the trust that He is sovereign enough to make it work and work according to His will and His purpose. But when we trust Him, we have to realize that this relationship is not some cold intellectual relationship. It is a very warm, it is a very personal relationship that we have with Jesus. He wants us to have that trust. He wants us to experience true belief in Him. He wants a relationship that is meaningful. You see, Christianity alone provides trust. It is a bond that is between ourselves and God. We can trust God. Trusting Christ and through Christ, a peace is introduced on earth. When we totally give ourselves over in a trusting relationship to Jesus Christ, the anxieties that show up in our lives, the anxieties that try to move in and take over, the tensions and the drama that moves in are all put to rest through the authority and through the power of Jesus Christ and the trust that we have. And this morning, as I was thinking about this message and as I was mulling it over in my head, I come to an understanding of something, actually a thought, something that I had read some time ago come back to mind this morning. And that is, we can't always control the circumstances that we find ourselves in life. There are always things and situations, people, anything else that come into our lives that we can't control what they do, what they say. We can't control the health problems or the issues that we may be faced with. We can't control them. But there is something that we can control. It does not matter who brings what situations come into our lives or anything else. We can control how we react to it. We can control that. We can control how we react and how we deal with it. If we have a trusting, sincere, serious relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is a meaningful relationship, and we have that trust in God, we have the peace that is necessary to handle our responses to any situation and any circumstance. Now that sounds really good this morning, but it's much more difficult when it plays out in real life, because we're human. Because we live in a body that is flesh, we live in a body that is condemned by sin. We live in a world that is constantly lifting up sin in front of our very eyes. We live among people who are vulnerable and who sometimes are submissive to sin in their lives. And we always have to face our own vulnerabilities. We have a tendency and the potential of giving in to failure in our own lives. And by doing so, we sacrifice the peace that Jesus brings. We need to realize from our passage today and in verse 1 when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled or anxious. You believe in God, believe also in me. You trust in God, trust also in me." We need to be firm and founded this morning on the trust that we have in Jesus Christ. It needs to be a meaningful, serious, sincere trust in our lives. Jesus knew, but the disciples didn't, that soon they would see the darkest days in the history of humanity. Jesus was going to be still and cold in death. His body was going to be riddled with wounds and scars. His voice was going to be silent. His presence was going to be gone. He was going to be beyond their physical reach. Something that they had not considered. Something they had not dealt with. But Jesus was offering peace. Jesus was offering them a contentment. Jesus was offering them a level and a part and a piece of Him that was only available by faith. Knowing this morning that Jesus is not physically here doesn't mean that He's not out of our heart's call. He knows our hearts. He knows our lives. He knows all of the struggles. He knows the anxieties that we have in our lives this morning and all of the anxieties that we have dealt with throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the years. He knows the anxieties that we're going to be confronted with before the end of this service today. He knows about tomorrow. But He also provides for us a peace that comes through meaningful trust. Next, Jesus reveals His heavenly home as a new place. Notice with me in verse 2 and 3. When discussing the peace that we just did and what comes by trusting, Jesus says we cannot do so without the place being revealed. In the Old Testament, we read very, very little about heaven. There is paradise that's mentioned, and then there is Abraham's bosom that's mentioned. And they both convey the idea, but they cast very little light on the subject. Jesus provides both some specifics and some light on his Father's house. You see, we have the peace of knowing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We can trust in him with that meaningful relationship. But we do that with the assurance of knowing that there is a physical, real end. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is something better awaiting us when we lay down these bodies and when we move to the other side of eternity. When we move from mortal to immortal, there is something better there for the child of God. Jesus used the term "my Father's house" only one other time in the New Testament. And that was when he cleansed the temple. That occurrence and this occurrence both solidify something. They solidify that heaven is a very real place. That the house of God is a very real place. The temple was a very real place for God's people to come and to worship, to be in the presence of God. There was inside the temple two compartments. One of them was called the Holy of Holies, or the Holiest of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant sat. That's where the mercy seat was. That's where God in Shekinah glory met with the high priest and discussed his intentions and his desires for his people with the high priest. Now that all of that is gone and Jesus is crucified and he has risen, you and I have our bodies as his temple. And it is the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And it is directly within us and to us through the moving of the Holy Spirit that God dwells and he works with us and he communicates with us. He takes his written word and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit he speaks in our hearts and speaks in our lives. And one of the things that we can be assured of is the reality of a heavenly place. It's very real. And not only that this morning, look at how Jesus discusses it. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself. If I go and I go to prepare a place for you, my Father's house is a very comfortable, very at-home feeling. It's not formal. I get the impression of a holiday meal, family gathering, where there are hugs and laughter and tenderness and love. When Jesus says, "my Father's house," that's the impression I get from his words. What a wonderful, warm, and peaceful feeling it is to know that through the love and the glory and the majesty of God, through his grace and through his mercy, we have access to God's home. We have access to that. It isn't literally a new heaven, but it is a new and a fresh description of what eternal life is with God. What we realize is that heaven is very real. It's somewhere. There is a physical, literal place. It's substantial because Jesus is there. There are many places and things that settles the physical reality and the size of heaven all through the book of Revelation. The Apostle John details those. He gives them to us in a perspective. But we have of knowing in our personal relationship with Christ, just as there is a trusting peace with Jesus, there is a trusted place with him in heaven. Finally this morning, Jesus reveals his heavenly home as a pledge. In verse 3, Jesus pledges to come again. He pledges to receive us to Himself. What a joy and what a thrill it is in the life of a born-again Christian to know that their Lord and their Savior has not forgotten them. To know that their Lord and their Savior will come again and will receive them unto Him. And there is a pledge written inside of God's Word that affirms it this morning. The very words of Jesus Himself, saying, "Where I am, there you may be also," His pledge to return. His pledge to come again. The message alone was enough to confirm the resurrection. We're going to see as we get further into it, the disciples are going to stand on the Mount of Olives. They're going to hear the parting words of the Lord Himself, and they are going to watch Him literally and physically ascend into the air, into the clouds, and move into glory with the promise and the pledge of one day knowing that He will return and come again for them. And just as we have their assurance, just as we have the assurance of God's Word that Jesus did make the pledge, that He did ascend, and just as sure as we know He did, we can rest assured He will return. We have that confidence this morning. We have that confidence because Jesus said so. Not based upon anything that we did, not based upon anything we can do or we're going to do, but all based upon His glory and His sovereignty. And I'm glad it's that way today, because if it was based on me, I would mess it up. And if it was based on you, you would mess it up. But it's based on Jesus. It's based on the Lord and on His sovereignty. I recently read about a man named Benjamin Disraeli. He was a member of the British Commons under the old British Empire. Upon his election to Parliament, he stood out from his fellow parliamentarians. Benjamin was foppish with his appearance and even eccentric with his behavior. He was also Jewish. When he stood to make his first speech, he was mocked by his peers. The uproar was so loud he had to abandon his attempt to speak. But he did raise his voice in defiance. Benjamin said, "I will sit down now, but you will hear from me again." Benjamin went on to lead Britain to greatness. Well, in John's Gospel this morning, we're looking at the day that the Lord's going to be rejected. Judas has just betrayed Him. Peter will soon deny Him. The Jews are going to mock Him, and the people as a whole are going to crucify Him. Jesus is going to be formally rejected. To this day, in 2017, the world at large has no use for Jesus. He is at home now with the Father, watching and listening and observing. He sees the hard hearts. He sees the calloused approach toward Him. He sees how He is used and how He is mocked. Jesus is saying, "I will sit down now, but you will hear from me again." Jesus is coming. He is coming. He's coming back to claim His church. He is coming back to claim the bride of Christ, you and I, the born-again saints of God. He's coming. Are you ready for that this morning? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Do you have a trust in Jesus that gives you a peace? A peace that assures a solid, firm, meaningful relationship with Him. Is that relationship so meaningful this morning that you realize that there is a place, a true, real, heavenly place for you. And do you have all of that resting firmly upon His pledge? I would like to ask this morning as I conclude if our musicians will come and prepare a hymn of invitation and closing. Jesus is coming back. The news was first announced to His disciples in the upper room. It is the next item on God's prophetic program. The next thing in line for God to do is to come gather His church. The actual day and the hour are the best kept secret in the universe. And you know, as I was thinking about that, putting the message together, that's one secret that even WikiLeaks can't get to. Only God knows when He's coming back. Right now, today, Jesus is working in glory. Jesus is putting the finishing touches on the wondrous place that He has prepared for His church. That alone is enough to provide peace if we will let it. That alone is enough to settle our anxiety. That alone is enough to give us contentment, to help us deal with the things of life and the circumstances that we face, even those that we bring upon ourselves daily. Through His pledge, the born again, the disciples, the church, the saints of God, we are assured of His return and a glorious reunion. We're promised of that. Now let me ask you, are you born again? You see, Jesus didn't make this peace and this place and this pledge to everyone. Jesus made it only to His redeemed. Now, we want to coddle the idea that everyone we know and everyone we love is going to be saved and everyone is going to be just fine. But in reality, that's a relationship that has to be established between each individual person and Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you're within the sound of my voice, I want you to realize that God is calling you. He's calling you to salvation. He's calling you to that trusted, meaningful relationship that can establish peace in your life. He is calling you to that place where He has promised in heaven of a glorious home, a mansion, if you will, where you will be residing with Him. He is calling you to take that pledge that He has given and apply it and place it in your heart this morning. If you haven't done that, today is your opportunity. Today is your time. Today God is calling you to do that very act. So this morning, as we close, as we have a hymn, if God is dealing with your heart and dealing with your life for whatever circumstance, whether it is salvation, whether it is revival, whether it is renewal, whether it is rededication, whatever it may be, if God is dealing with your heart, I want to invite you to come and settle that matter with Him this morning. As we sing, would you come? Ladies.